One for the money, two for the show, three for my honey, and four to let you know that this is Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited. My name is Corey Morissette, joined as always by St. John Mariano. How are you doing today, John?
Oh, I'm doing about as good as I was doing 20 minutes ago when we first started the show, Corey.
Yeah, your energy level has dropped. You know, we did a little dry run when the damn thing wasn't recording, and we had a really great intro to the show, and it's all lost
No. I'm here to spoil everything once again. So okay. For anybody who missed the recording the first time because Corey forgot to hit record, I spoiled a few things. I'm going to continue to spoil them now. And a lot of that is for our guest, Heath, who's here. I'm spoiling that first. Heath, why don't you introduce yourself, and then I'll continue spoiling stuff.
All right. I'm a huge Aerosmith fan. I wrote the book Pain and Passion, The History of Stampede Wrestling, which is one of the ways Corey and I first connected, also because I'm a gigantic Van Halen fan. And I'm happy. I used to be, I was a longtime rock journalist as well. So very happy to be on your show.
And this is fellow single dad Heath McCoy joining us, and we're gonna forget Corey Morissette for a minute. Heath, have you seen Obi-Wan Kenobi?
No, I haven't. You know what? I haven't watched any of the new TV Star Wars stuff because I loved Star Wars as a kid. Obviously, I loved the free movies, and I haven't loved the stuff that has come out recently, the movies. But everyone's telling me like you have to see The Mandalorian, you have to see Obi-Wan. So yeah, I should.
Let me spoil a couple of things for you because I'm going to be a jerk right now. And because we were talking spoilers before the show,
damn American.
The Obi-Wan Kenobi show, both Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader live through the whole thing.
You prick. I haven't seen the last episode yet. I'm only up to episode 5. Damn it.
You were supposed to pipe down, son.
Sorry. I'll shut up now.
And the other thing I guess I could spoil for you is that Stranger Things comes out in 2 days.
I can't wait.
Right? So that'll help everybody else kind of date when we're recording this, because they're going to be listening to this probably by 2023. We are so far ahead right now, Heath. It's ridiculous. Like, I don't know what's the last episode that you heard. But the last one we recorded, we just didn't put I Don't Miss a Thing on the mixtape. We eviscerated. I can't wait for you to hear it.
I would have liked to be a part of that because I would love to eviscerate that song. The worst. What were they thinking?
I Don't Want to Lick Your Thing was the last show we did. It was episode 34. This is episode 35. There's nowhere to go but up. But Heath, before we get rolling into that, I want to talk about this book a little bit, because when we were talking about Van Halen, you said, hey, you're a Saskatchewan boy, did you ever watch Stampede Wrestling? Like, Stampede Wrestling was fucking life back for us when we were kids, right? We watched TV all the time. So you said, hey, I wrote a book on Stampede Wrestling. So I couldn't find it in Canada. I actually had to go to the UK and order a copy of Pain and Passion, The History of Stampede Wrestling. What a tremendous read, though. I'm absolutely enjoying the hell out of it. Stu Hart's history and upbringing is just extremely interesting to me. I can't imagine living on the wild prairies in the middle of minus 40 below weather in a tent.
Isn't it crazy? And eating gophers and stuff, like, God.
Just crazy shit. And then when you get into like the Dynamite Kid chapters and kind of the shit he was pulling off, it's unreal stuff. Like, it's the stuff of a great novel.
Thank you very much. As a journalist, actually, I was working at the Calgary Herald when Owen Hart died, and of course the Harts all live in Calgary, and I grew up with Stampede Wrestling, so I was covering that story, and because I kind of knew the wrestling, I got to know the Harts, some of the Harts, pretty well. And I just thought to myself, like, this story needs to be told, not just the Owen Hart part, but the entire history of it, because it's amazing. I think of it like the Godfather of professional wrestling, you know?
Well, and for American wrestling fans like my friend John there, he may not realize how many big names came through the territory. Of course, the British Bulldogs, all the Harts, Junkyard Dog came through there, Jake the Snake. A bunch of huge names.
Superstar Billy Graham, like.
Yeah, superstar. Forgot about him. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, and down here, Stampede Wrestling was a thing of legend. You know, back then we had like five networks, And, you know, I had to hunt down even to see WWF, you know, now called WWE for all the kids out there. But I had to hunt that down to even see any of that in my local area here in New York. So to know or to hear the legends of the Dungeon and Stu Hart and all these great things, like, I can't wait to read your book, man. Like, it's the top of my summer reading list.
I appreciate that. I hope you like it.
I will let you know, but I am sure I will, because its subject is right up my alley.
Yeah. It gives you a little insight too on life on the prairies. And I know Bret Hart had singled out, he had a ladder match with Dynamite Kid and Regina at the old Agrodome that he counts as one of his favorite matches of all time. Just this insane ladder match that I was there for. And it was absolutely.
Are you there?
I was there.
Oh man, I'm envious. That thing was never even, I don't think there was TVs there, right? Like, nope. Nobody filmed that. That's lost to the sands of time. Oh man, I'm so envious.
I don't remember much. I was pretty young, but I remember being there for that night and all that. So I'd never seen a ladder match before. They didn't have them on TV, right? So
yeah. I'll have to share. I've got a photo that somebody took from that night, and they both come back. You know, they both come backstage, back in the dressing room, and they're both full of blood. They're both exhausted. I got to share with you, man. It's an amazing photo.
Oh, absolutely. I would love to see that. But we're not here to talk about wrestling. We're here to talk about rock and roll. And Heath, you mentioned you're a big Van Halen fan. I believe your Twitter handle is Van Heath. Is that right? Or Van Heath?
Van Heathen, yeah. Yeah, 80s era David Lee Roth is my spirit animal. So,
well, we're going to get you on the Van Halen show in a few weeks here. But also a big fan of Aerosmith. Maybe tell us a little bit how you got into the band and became a fan of Aerosmith.
Sure. I was, I was into that whole 80s hard rock thing. Van Halen was my gateway drug, and Kiss was as well. And then I got into Kiss, Motley Crue, Rats, you know, the whole bit. Mm-hmm. And nobody, if you'll remember that early 80s phase there, Aerosmith was on nobody's radar. Like, they were sort of done, you know. And but I heard Nikki Sixx talk about the greatness of Steven Tyler enough times that when I saw a really cheap, cassette of Aerosmith's greatest hits, I picked it up, and it blew me away. I thought it was amazing. And then, of course, it was only that next summer, I think, that then they became huge again through the Run DMC Walk This Way deal. And then they were also the first band that ever played in the first arena we got in Saskatoon, Sask Place. And I was in the seventh row, and it blew me away. They're still one of the best bands I've ever seen live.
And to this day, like, I somehow missed them for years. Like, every show I went to seemed to get canceled for one reason or another. I had tickets to, they were playing Old Mosaic Stadium with ZZ Top. And was three shows before that, Steven Tyler fell off a stage in Sturgis and broke his shoulder.
Right.
So it's that show. They've canceled Saskatoon so many times I can't even count that I had tickets for. I finally saw him at the Minot State Fair in Minot, North Dakota, not that long ago. Living Color opened for him, and they still put on a phenomenal show. It was
a phenomenal bill. Holy.
Oh, Living Color killed it. Yeah, it was great. Because Joe Perry and Joey Kramer came out, and they watched the whole Living Color set from backstage. They were on it. They're bopping along. So nice. So you have a very eclectic group of songs that you put on our die here tonight. Heath, maybe go through the six songs you selected for tonight.
Sure. Except I don't think I can see them right now. There they go. Okay, I picked Mother Popcorn. I came across this. I jaded on there because that's one of my favorite modern day Aerosmith tunes. But I was listening to that, really discovering that live bootleg album, because I hadn't given it a deep dive listen, and I was blown away. And I'm a James Brown fan, and Mother Popcorn came on, and I was like, wow. Last Child, my favorite Aerosmith song, hands down. I love it. Same Old Song and Dance, the lyrics, the horns, I love it. Walk This Way, because I'm a greedy bastard, and I thought this will be your most listened to episode, and it'd be cool to be a part of that. Adam's Apple, because it's so great, and Kings and Queens, which is kind of an interesting song in their catalog. So yeah,
that is a great six. John, looking at that list, is there anything you're kind of looking forward to tonight?
I mean, low key, Kings and Queens is one of my favorite Aerosmith songs, so I would be very like, they're all great picks. But if I'm picking one of my kids to be my favorite kid, I'm picking Kings and Queens.
There you have it. I know I'm kind of hoping for Last Child after hearing that's Heath's favorite song. I love it.
I'd be so glad for that. And also Adam's Apple. I was kind of really gave the lyrics a read, and the whole biblical, like, it's like a Hordy's take on the Bible. So like, I'm ready for that one too. So.
Awesome. Before we roll the dice though, I got to take care of a little housekeeping here and mention our sponsor, Pop Rockin' Radio. Ken Knapsack's Pop, Rock, and Radio, the big hits, album cuts, and B-sides from the rock and pop world that make up the soundtracks of our lives. Look for live shows and make requests. Sing, dance, and celebrate the music with the Pop, Rock, and Radio community. John, any news from the Pop, Rock, and Radio community?
Not necessarily even Pop, Rock, and Radio community, but I've been talking to Ken a little bit. He's got some things brewing on his end. If you join his Patreon, he's been doing this great show behind the paywall called The Blathering. And it's, you know, whether you want to call it Ken Rants or the unfiltered thoughts of Ken, he gets a little bit like, I don't know if you're a fan of George Carlin at all, but he gets a little political, and he gets a little you know he takes sides, which he doesn't normally do in front of the paywall. Yeah. And it's very freeing, and regardless of where you stand politically or not, it's freeing to hear somebody speak their mind and get it all out there, and not do it in such a way where it's combative or confrontational, but do it where, like, this is what I believe in, this is what I stand for, and to know this is what we should all be doing. Unless that is to, you know, say, inhibit somebody else's rights, then just part of my French would shut the fuck up.
Yeah, I agree.
Exactly. I got to check out the Blathering. I'm behind that paywall, so I'm definitely looking forward to that. But what do you say, boys? Let's roll this dice and see what we're listening to here tonight.
Beautiful.
All right. Going to give this sucker a shake, and we are going to roll Mother Popcorn. We're going to Mother Bootleg.
Awesome.
Wait, tell us a little bit, Keith, why you put this one on the die here tonight.
Well, like I say, I started doing a deep dive into the Aerosmith Live Bootleg record. I heard a little bits and pieces before, but this is the first time I ever dug into it. And I'm telling you, like, I really think, you know, everyone talks about Kiss from that era, Kiss Alive, and, you know, Nugent's Great Gonzos and stuff, or Great Gonzos Live, I think it was, and Jay Giles and all these great live Bob Seger's got a great live album, but nobody really talks about Aerosmith's Live Bootleg, and it's incredible. Like, it knocked me out, and I'm a James Brown fan, and I came across Mother Popcorn, and I just couldn't believe the funk and the energy and the adrenaline in that thing. I listened to James Brown kind of close by to it, and I actually think, at least the studio version, I'm sure James Brown funked it up live, but if you compare Aerosmith's version to the studio version of the James Brown recording, I actually think Aerosmith maybe bested it, you know, bested James Brown. I mean, it's amazing. So, yeah,
it is. This cut was actually taken from a radio broadcast from a Boston performance on March 20th, 1973. Live Bootleg is a little different as a live album, because at that time you mentioned bands like Kiss and stuff, and they would take their live stuff and they would doctor it up to make it sound perfect, right? Like, that's a big controversy with Alive and Alive too. Aerosmith went the other direction. They didn't want to doctor anything. They wanted it to sound like an actual bootleg. Joe Perry even said a couple of the tracks were recorded off air onto a cassette just to get that kind of hiss on it that you would get from a bootleg at the time, because that's what they're going for. The record company hated it. They wanted everything to sound crisp and clean and stuff. And Aerosmith's like, you don't really get the thrill of a bootleg or the concept of the album. So a different stance taken by Aerosmith in this one. John, do you know, have you listened to a lot of live bootleg?
Yeah. I have had Aerosmith heavy in my rotation on my mixtapes and just in general since the 90s. So I'm familiar with it. I'm familiar with the James Brown version. I'm even familiar with the Blues Brothers cover of it. And I think Keith's right. Like, I, you know, maybe there's some bias here because I love Aerosmith, but I do feel like they bested James Brown, at least the studio version. I don't know if Brown has a live version. I would be hesitant to say that they topped him live, because James Brown
was untouchable live.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Well, Aerosmith, really, you know?
Right. Yeah. So I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing that in a battle of the bands, where, like, on one side of the stadium you had James Brown playing this, and on the other side you had Aerosmith. I feel like that's a no can lose situation.
Yeah, really.
All right, what do you say, guys? Should we start spinning Mother Popcorn?
Let's do it.
Yeah. I should mention, if you download Live Bootleg on your iTunes or anything like that, you're going to notice the track listing. It's 11 minutes and 39 seconds. That's because that's two songs. They segue from Mother Popcorn into Draw the Line, which was listed on the album, but not listed as an official track. It's actually tagged on the end of Mother Popcorn. We won't play the draw the line version of the song. We're going to stop about 6 minutes in after Mother Popcorn. So if you wonder why you bring up Mother Popcorn from Live Bootleg on iTunes and it's 11 and a half minutes, that's why. All right, here we go.
Look out! We're going to bring somebody up on stage now with us. A Mr. David Woodward. Going to blow some sax. Yeah. Watch this man.
I love that Aerosmith has never shied away from horns and the sax. And it's so many hard rock bands do, right? But Aerosmith has never. And I love it. I love that about them.
Oh, me too. We talk about that whenever we bring up a Permanent Vacation song. It's like there's horns throughout that whole album. Right. The power horns, and they sound phenomenal.
And this is Aerosmith really incorporating some funk into their 70s groove. And what a pick, Heath. Like, you know, I feel like we've touched on a lot of different styles Aerosmith has done over the years, and we haven't touched funk yet. And you threw up a really eclectic pair of the dice, which is a nice way of saying, like, those songs would probably make a terrible mixtape together, but also each one gave us something wonderful to talk about. And here we can really focus on, you know, them incorporating sax and the funk and the live performance. And there's so much great about to happen.
So you're getting a little bit Steven Tyler vocally. This is 1973. So this is around the time they released their debut. He's got that. He's singing in that different voice, right? It's a little more nasally and not the Steven Tyler singing voice that we're used to. And you're getting a little bit of that in here, aren't you?
Do you think? I thought this was like quintessential, you know, the way, you know, the kind of inflection he did on when he said, I like him tall, or I like, you know, buttered, or he had that vocal inflection. And he's got that, you can tell he's absolutely cribbing from James Brown here too, because he's doing a really funky sort of James Brown version. And he's got that, rasp and that screech that I love so much about Tyler. I didn't hear the nasally stuff as much, I got to say.
Well, compared to how he sang on like Dream On from that original album.
Right.
To how he's singing here, I think it's pretty similar to how he would be singing that song maybe today.
Sure.
See. You got to have a mouth for me. Got to play about yourself, fancy. Well, you got to have a mouth for me. One more. Give me. See. Hey, well, you got to have a mouth for me.
I love this recording. It sounds like you could have heard this on a best day of your life if you walked into a blues bar, a jazz bar, and this was going on. You know, it's got that vibe to it.
Well, and it sounds great for 1973 for a radio broadcast from 73. Like, it's mixed really well. It sounds really good. And John, man, the band is fucking cooking here, aren't they?
It's a great selection in that it really puts the focus on Tom Hamilton, right? Because they're playing funk, right? We usually get a lot of the guitars at the forefront, and, you know, we hear the guitars starting to come in now in the song, but the bass and the sax are really at the forefront with Steven's voice. And because it is a funk song at its core. And I'm really just appreciating that right now. And Tom Hamilton is freaking killing it right now.
I'm a drummer, and I got to say, Joey Kramer, this is a fine moment for him too. Clive Stubblefield, and I can't remember. Brown had the two drummers. I feel stupid that I don't remember their names right now, the both of them. But those cats were hard dudes to follow in terms of the funk sound they had, and Kramer's doing it.
I was going to bring up Joey Kramer too. I'm trying to be a drummer. I'm learning right now. And yeah, him and Tom are just right fucking there in the pocket, just killing this funk groove. And Clyde Stubblefield is actually credited on the James Brown recording of this song in 1969. So good call. Nice. Sorry, I thought you were waving me down there, Heath.
Well, just the stank on that sax solo. Yes. I mean, it's so great.
We usually talk about the Joe Perry stank that he puts on his solos, but we definitely got some sax stank on that one, John.
Oh. Well, the other thing I'm noticing is, like, Corey, you said this is an 11-minute track because it's the two songs. I don't know about you guys, but this could be an 11-minute jam session, and I would be here for it right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
If they just went off on a tangent and kind of did like the way like Zeppelin play live, or even like play a 25-minute track like the Grateful Dead, and if it was just stuff like this playing into this funk with everybody getting their own solos and stuff, I would be here for it right now.
Me too.
Popcorn! You, honey, I can't see you. Hey, baby. Hey, listen here. Some like them short, some like them tall, some like them thin, skinny legs and all. I like them all. Whoa, I like them proud. And when they walk, you know that you're crowd. See.
I'm just doing some reading here on the lyrical meaning behind Mother Popcorn. And I guess the mother in the song title was Brown's honorific for a big butt. So even way back in 1969, they're singing about gigantic asses. And you know, that's right up Steven Tyler's alley.
Yeah, right. I was going to say as well, just that last little bit. I mean, what a testament to him as a vocalist. Mm-hmm. Like, wow.
It's unbelievable. We talked about it. Steven Tyler's got to be, you know, top five easy rock vocalist of all time, right? Like,
sure.
I kind of need Aerosmith Before We Die to cover Baby Got Back after knowing that fact.
Yeah, I know. I love that little tidbit about Mother Popcorn. I never knew. Thank you.
But apparently James Brown did a bunch of songs based on the popcorn, which was a dance at the time. He had a song called The Popcorn, Low Down Popcorn, Let a Man Come Down and Do the Popcorn. So he was big into the popcorn, and then the mother is in honor of big asses. So God bless you, James Brown.
God bless you, James Brown.
Hey, well, you got to have a mother for me. Hey, listen here, see. Well, you got to have a mother for me. Hey, see. Well, you got to have a mother for me. See, well, I gotta have a mother for me. Say, I gotta have a mother for me. Say, I gotta have a mother for me. Say, I gotta have a mama, and gotta have a mama, and you gotta have. Say, you gotta have. I said, you gotta have. I said, you gotta have.
There aren't many people in the history of the universe that could do what Steven Tyler is doing here, which is hold even a candle to James Brown. And it's remarkable. It's a remarkable testament to his vocals and his feeling the music, and not just being a technical singer, but singing from his soul, right? Which is why, you know, we often compare it to your Aerosmith your Van Halen podcast, Corey. And, you know, you have that guy over there who loves the Sammy Hagar and the technical scenes of Sammy Hagar.
Damn you, Mark.
And I've got a tag team partner here. We're going to go to some Stampede Wrestling. And I got a tag team partner here that can back me up and say, I'm pretty sure Diamond Dave could do what Steven's doing here, but I don't think Sammy can handle it.
That's a good point. I don't see Sammy really handling this material very well either, whereas Diamond Dave, I think, can knock it out of the park.
Yeah, I think, and Diamond Dave takes his cue from the James Browns of the world. Like, he really does. But yeah, I got to say, like, in terms of, I mean, yeah, live, I'm sure James Brown and his band killed this song, but I was listening to the studio recording, and that those screams that Tyler was just delivering, like, that's not on the studio recording. Like, he is killing it right here. He's killing James Brown, I think. I hate to say it's sacrilege to say, but yeah.
Well, yeah, I always will stand by, it's unfair to compare any live performance. I'm a live guy. Like, give me the live performance 9 times out of 10 over the studio thing, because singers and bands bring an element, you know, and the audience brings an element that adds to the track. Mm-hmm. So I'm not ready to say he tops James Brown, but I just wanted to take a shot at Mark while he's not here and give you an opportunity to warm up, Heath, because you're when Corey gets you on that show, we'll be going toe to toe with Mark. And I'm looking for some Diamond Dave representation on that show.
You got it, man. I don't want to be too hard on Mark. I just listened to an episode and he had the yacht rock idea, which was amazing. Heath, Mark, do that. But anyway.
This is David Woodward's time to shine.
No kidding.
Right? Like, I'm watching the three of us are just bobbing our heads as he is jamming out right now.
Yeah, he's killing it. It's incredible what he's doing. I always say when we talk about rock saxophonist, Bobby Keys, who played with the Stones, is the man for me. Like, he is the most killer sax player, I think, in rock. And then I always say Clarence Clemons comes right after, but this I hadn't heard. And this is right up there with the best of Bobby Keys. You know, it's incredible.
100%. Now, I was just looking at how many times do you think Aerosmith has played this song live in their career? Ballpark, what do you think?
Geez, how many shows have they done? I mean, I'd say, okay, ballpark, I'd probably say 60, 70.
60, 70, John, higher, lower?
I'm going to go with maybe a couple of dozen.
How about 270?
Wow. Oh, really?
They like doing this song. They did it as late as 2017. I was actually looking at some set lists from 2017, and they played this as part of the encore.
So wait, are you telling me, because now if they're still playing this song, and the 90s are classic songs and classic rock, that we could, when they go to Vegas, get Aerosmith doing Mother Popcorn and Baby Got Back back to back?
Quite possibly.
I like your vision for that. That's great.
How do we stump for this? Because I will fly to Vegas just go for the encore, like show up for the encore where they play this and leave and be like, thank you.
2017, their encore was Dream On and then Mother Popcorn and then Walk This Way.
That's a hell of an encore. Wow.
Not a bad way to end a show.
They got it wrong. They need to do Baby Got Back, Mother Popcorn, and Rump Shaker.
And then Big Bottom.
Nice. I love it.
How about Big Bottom from Spinal Tap? Can they fit that one in?
Nice.
The looser the waistband, the deeper the quicksand.
I love it. One more thing to interject, too. We were talking about how great Steven Tyler still is. This popped into my head. I saw Steven Tyler's solo show. He played the Calgary Stampede about 3-4 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I was jammed into the Cowboys tent. Very uncomfortable experience because you couldn't even move to go have a beer or piss in there. But it was worth it to wait it out because Steven Tyler was incredible and voice was still was there. And it was an amazing night.
Well, and currently as we record this, he's getting treatment to keep battling those demons. But we're supposed to be hitting the road again in September and doing some more Vegas residency shows. So hopefully Steven can get everything back together and get back to doing Mother Popcorn as part of the encore. Because that'd be phenomenal.
I was loath to cut it off because that was so amazing, but I just had to say, beautiful cowbell, Mr. Kramer.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that as a drummer. Like, whenever they break out the cowbell, that's good stuff.
Yeah, and he's got a little. He's not just doing the straight click either. He's got like some style on that thing.
Yeah,
some stank on it. Yeah,
we even got some drumming stank on this one, John. You're dripping in stank this week.
This song drips in stank. This might be the stankiest song that Aerosmith has ever recorded, and that's no small feat.
No.
I thought that when I was listening to it, when I first was given that deep dive listen, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. This is incredible.
We still got a minute.
Incredible too much, but anyways.
Look, we need to have Heath back because he brings the stank.
That's right. Yeah, we were missing some stank lately, John. It's back in full force here for this one.
Well, we missed the stank because somebody decided to get, I don't want to even mention the name of the song last week. And, you know, God, I, Heath, you missed it, but I was praying for an asteroid to hit Earth while we were recording.
I would be too.
Yeah.
We know the king. Mother Popcorn by Aerosmith. We'll cut it off before Draw the Line kicks in there. Heath, hell of a pick, my friend.
Thank you. How hot was that? Oh, man.
So I'm not ready to say that Steven Tyler is better than James Brown.
Yeah, I got to back that. But
Heath, could you imagine if James Brown was on the stage with Steven while he was doing that outro, how hot that would have been with the two of them vocally dancing around each other?
that's like one of those dream things. Would you imagine that?
Right.
That would be killer. Yeah.
Right. Like, to me, I care less so on who's better, knowing that that could exist. Right. Even to pair with Corey's other podcast and get Diamond Dave, because it would have been of the same era. Diamond Dave of this era and Steven of this era singing this track, just even the outro part together, would be wild.
It would have been cool.
Absolutely. All right, gentlemen. I dare say we all enjoyed the song. I imagine if we actually asked Steven Tyler what he thought of Mother Popcorn, he would say,
outstanding.
So we got a bit of business to take care of, because we got a mixtape that we're populating right now with Aerosmith songs. We have 18 tracks on that mixtape right now. And the question is, does Mother Popcorn deserve a spot on it? And if so, what the hell are we taking off?
I think that track is better than about half the songs that we have on the mixtape right now, Corey.
Well, it's certainly the stankiest.
Are you Tony's stank?
And put some stank on it!
There we go. We got to put some stank on it, I think.
I'm not going to put any pressure on Heath, but as a guest and as a listener, Heath, is there anything in particular that sticks out to you of like, I kind of want to kick that off the mixtape? And if not, Corey and I will hash it out and figure it out. But I'm going to give you first crack at it, because
thank you.
You're taking a look at it. And look, we care about our listeners and we care about you. So if there's something you want to boot off this thing, by all means, I'm giving you unlimited power right now. I reserve the right to overrule you.
Okay. It's a pretty good list you guys have going on here. I definitely think Mother Popcorn should be on there. I'm glad Chip Away at the Stone is on there. I would kick off, I don't know, Bone to Bone. Is that like off the brand new album or?
No, that's Night in the Ruts. That's a Bone to Bone, Coney Island, Whitefish Boy.
I don't even know that song, but I might kick off that, but I've never heard it, so that's probably not fair. I'd kick off Shut Up and Dance.
Interesting. I know that was a big favorite of both John and I from Get a Grip. So he's nominating Shut Up and Dance.
So it sounds like it's either the Condom song or the Shut Up and Dance song, because a Coney Island Whitefish Boy is a used condom, Heath.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
The other one that occurred to me is, and I love the song actually, The Permanent Vacation. I think when you guys did the episode, I think somebody said it's like they're, it's kind of got that, I don't know, it's like, I can't remember what you guys said, but there was a cheesy aspect to it. So I might kick off Permanent Vacation as well. When you guys were doing it, I was yelling, I was talking to you while I was listening. And I think it's Aerosmith's version of Kokomo, you know, the Beach Boys Kokomo, or maybe that was said, I don't know, but that's that. And so, yeah, that's another one that could go for me, Permanent Vacation. I love it. It's a cool tune, but not nearly as cool as Mother Popcorn.
So Corey, it sounds like Heath's first choice though is Shut Up and Dance. So I'm going to give you every chance you can to fight for that right now, because I'm ready to kick it off, dude.
You're so old. You don't remember 30 some shows ago when we did Shut Up and Dance. You thought this is going to make it to the end. That was like your favorite track from the 90s Aerosmith.
I mean, it's 37 weeks later or whatever. So it's a long time.
I have another song I want to nominate. Everybody can kind of kick around here. Sick as a Dog. It's a cover, right? If we're going to replace a cover with a cover, I'm cool with that. And I think Mother Popcorn certainly has more stank than Sick as a Dog. I love that song. It's got a great groove to it. But I can see it being replaced by Mother Popcorn.
I'm going to side with our guest here and go, it's got to be one of the three nominees.
Ass kisser.
I'm a panderer. We like to be called panderers.
I gotta say, there's others. I'm looking at others that I could kick off, but I'm biased because I don't like, you know, sort of the 90s Aerosmith. I do like 90s Aerosmith, but the 70s stuff, the 90s stuff doesn't hold a candle to the 70s for me for the most part. So I see other stuff that could be disposable here too.
I'd be cool with Bone to Bone. I'd be cool with Permanent Vacation, and I'd be cool with Sick as a Dog.
All right. So it sounds like we've narrowed it down to two.
Please not Sick as a Dog. I love Sick as a Dog.
I love it too. It's a tough one.
So, 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 So we've narrowed it down to two. And being that Heath hasn't heard the condom song yet, I'm going to side with him wanting to boot off a new age-ier type of song and vote against Permanent Vacation and say it's the vacation's over.
And cool tune, but like you said, it's a little kitschy. The Kokomo comparison I thought was excellent because it's very much like Kokomo.
Yeah.
Cool tune, but not really indicative of the band ultimately, whereas Mother Popcorn, I think, more is. If I was making a mixtape of Aerosmith, I would put Mother Popcorn on instead of Permanent Vacation. So if you're cool with that, Heath, that's what we're going to be doing here.
I'm cool with that. I'm pumped to be a part of this. It's awesome.
There you have it. So I'm just going to run down the list for the folks at home here. Currently we have a Sweet Emotion, but it's the A Little South of Sanity live version. That one's actually kind of tenuous. That might get replaced by a different version at some point. But Sweet Emotion's on there. Shut Up and Dance. Let the Music Do the Talking. No More, No More. Chip Away the Stone. Nobody's Fault. The Other Side. Bone to Bone. Coney Island Whitefish Boy. Rats in the Cellar. And now Mother Popcorn added this week. Janie's Got a Gun. Move It Out. Girl Keeps Coming Apart. Seasons of Wither. Crazy. Sick as a Dog. Eat the Rich. And Mama Kin. And going through that list, like, we got Girl Keeps Coming Apart. Very similar to Permanent Vacation in a lot of ways, with a better horn section. So I'm really cool with that one staying on for now and Permanent Vacation going off.
Awesome. I was glad I was able to be a part of this.
And look, that's part of our goal here. So Heath, now that you've been on the show and you know the pressure that comes with being on the show, it gets harder. So when you come back, there's going to be better songs on here inevitably. Right. Yeah. And I can't make the promise for you that no 90s songs, because since it is an ultimate Aerosmith mixtape, if we're introducing somebody and going, this is the definitive Aerosmith mixtape, you want to represent all eras of the band.
Yeah.
So unfortunately or fortunately, like, some newer stuff, you know, lots of older stuff, it doesn't necessarily need to be 50-50, but it needs to be representative. So
I would agree.
Right.
I mean, The Other Side, Jaded, I think, is an amazing song.
Like, yeah.
I can see Jaded having a good long life on this list. I love that song.
Yeah, me too.
So it'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. The pressure's on, though, because there's like, Corey, how many songs are there in the catalog?
It was almost 400.
Yeah, and we're narrowing it down to 18.
You've given yourself quite the task. It's almost hard to fathom.
It's not just studio cuts. We're doing live cuts, too. That's why. So we put Sweet Emotion on from A Little South of Sanity, but we still have Sweet Emotion from Pandora's Box, the remix. We still have the original Sweet Emotion. We have from Classics Live. Like, there's tons of versions out there.
Yeah, cool.
All right, with that, let's wrap it up, boys. Heath, where can the folks find you online?
I don't have a huge presence. I'm surprised you couldn't get Pain and Passion actually in Canada, because on Amazon.ca should have it.
And that's where I went through, but they said sold out.
They're sold out. Yeah, I mean, this is a book I wrote in 2005, and then the new version came out in 2007. And you know, I don't think I'm going to get rich off it, but it still sells. It still sells a lot. It sells in Europe. It sells in America, and it sells in Canada. So I love that it was sold out in Canada. Great. Yeah, that's the best place to get it, I think. Amazon. Mm-hmm. And then the ECW Press. My they also sell it too. So
okay.
Yeah.
And you're going to be selling a copy.
I'm on Twitter at Van Heathen.
Perfect. Johnny?
I started a new podcast with my buddy Corey Morissette called Backtracks Theme Music.
Oh, right.
We are listening to songs from movies and comparing it, or talking about the movie, the scene maybe it's played in, giving it some context, talking about the artist and the song. So it's a good place to talk about movies and music. So you can find me over there. You can also find me on my Twitter handle. It's just my name, John Mariano, NY, on Twitter. If you want to hear an angry single dad who just hates people, like, by all means, say hi.
It's a good follow. And you can follow the show at BT Aerosmith. You can follow Backtracks Theme Music as well at BT Theme Music. Aerosmith has some soundtrack songs, of course, from Wayne's World 2 and others. So we have to break up the live version of Dude Looks Like a Lady for the theme music show. What do you say, John?
Sure.
Would you include, they had a version, I think it's their version of Come Together, and it's on that awful Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band album that Peter Frampton and the Bee Gees did together. Yep. Would that be included? Would that be something?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So
as long as Aerosmith put it out, we count it. So unfortunately, like the Run DMC version of Walk This Way doesn't qualify because it wasn't an Aerosmith release. It was a Run DMC release.
But the Come Together thing, I was thinking about your show, the soundtrack show, right?
Like yeah.
No,
it would be 100% eligible. If it's a song that's played in a movie, right? It doesn't even have to be on the soundtrack of anything. Like it could be in the background of a scene. By all means, and it could be a TV show too. Like if there's a song, you know, I can tell you right now, like there's a song I love from Family Ties when Alex breaks up with his girlfriend Ellen, and it's called At This Moment by Billy Vera, and we're gonna cover that at some point on that show because it's one of those songs like from my childhood that informed my musical taste.
I'm enjoying that show, by the way. I've only listened to one episode, but I thought I'm going to listen to more. It's cool.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And actually, I'm just revisiting our old dice because we haven't looked at that one in a while, John, because we had the three shows with Jeff and then the show with Heath. And we still have Theme from Spider-Man on there from 2000. So.
Yeah. I mean, we'll get back to our die soon enough. We've had a bunch of wonderful guests lately, but we'll get back to boring old me and Corey soon.
Now you guys do a great job.
No, we're gonna have Heath back on the show. We don't want to burn him out so quick right now because we got like 350 of these suckers left to go. So we'll bring you back around show 60. How about that, Heath?
Sounds good. I would love to come back on.
I don't like commitments. Can we just bring him back when we feel like it?
I guess so.
Yeah. So you can come back sooner if you want.
What are you doing?
Awesome. Love it.
All right. On behalf of Heath McCoy and John Mariano, my name is Corey Morrison. And as always, let's give the final word to Steven Tyler.